They kind of hate everybody indiscriminately.
I'm not saying that I like women. I hate women just as bad as
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, there's no gender involved. It's men, women, we hate them all.
Welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. It's Craig Rosen back again from beautiful Porter Ranch, California. Jim and Patrick are off on spring break, probably going wild like suburban dads do. And I'm here with you to share the much-hyped story about L7 and what happened when I interviewed them years ago. This came up recently on Twitter. Somebody mentioned L7, and I told Patrick I had a story, and he's like, oh, you gotta... Well, I guess he doesn't have a voice on Twitter, so he wrote something like, you gotta share that on the podcast. I shouldn't add an inflection, because Twitter really doesn't have inflections. It's just words, unless you use a lot of exclamation points or something. But anyway, let's get on with it. It's Rockin' the Suburbs, as I said. Craig Rosen here from Porter Ranch. Jim and Patrick are on vacation, spring breaking somewhere, going wild. I worked at Billboard Magazine from 1989 through 1998. I started as a reporter covering radio, and I was a columnist. I wrote about network radio. And eventually I got promoted to West Coast Bureau Chief after my pal Dave DiMartino left. Went on to better things. Back then, the late great Musician Magazine was owned by Billboard's parent company, BPI. And Billboard, at least when I started there, it was pretty much a straight trade magazine. There wasn't like a lot of room for color and, you know, features or anything like that. Although it did get a little more featurey as time went on. But Musician always seemed like a cool magazine to me. So I would, you know, ask Mark Rowland, who was the West Coast editor, if I could contribute. And, he let me do a few things. One of them was a piece I pitched was like, you know, the women of grunge or something like that. I don't know like the exact headline. It was a while ago in 1992 or thereabouts. Probably have the magazine in a box somewhere in a closet. I think Elvis Presley was on the cover, and it was a black and white cover. But anyway, the original pitch was on a whole L7, and there was this other band called The Nymphs that was fronted by a woman named Inger Laurie, and she was notorious because there was a story she got upset at her A&R guy, Tom Zutaut, of Guns N' Roses fame, and she climbed up on Zutaut's desk and peed because she was mad at him. Anyway, for better or worse, I don't know, the Nymphs might have broken up by then, or I couldn't get a hold of Inger, but she wasn't part of the story. So it was just L7 and whole. And I told, you know, L7's publicist my idea. It wasn't a secret or anything. So we, you know, she set up an interview, and we all sat around a table at some place. I think it was called the Hollywood Cantina. I'm not sure if we actually had a meal or anything, but, you know, the interview went well as, you know, as far as I can recall until the end. I mentioned something about Courtney or, you know, the piece, the concept, and they got really pissed off. And I'm not sure if it's because they didn't like Courtney or thought it was sexist that, you know, this guy was grouping these female rockers together. You know, but it's like the great Nigel Tufnell once said.
What's wrong with being sexy?
Anyway, I kid. I wasn't trying to be sexist. I liked both bands, and I thought grouping them together made sense. I mean, they had a similar vibe. They were sort of like breaking at the same time and emerging, and I thought it would be a good piece. But whatever, you know, for whatever reason, the members of L7, all four of them, were really upset, and they threatened to find out where I lived and blow up my toilet. Those were their words. I don't lie. It's probably a good time right now to hear Pretend That We're Dead by L7.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, they mocked me and they said, oh, why don't you go back to your house in the valley? And the funny thing was, I lived in the valley. I don't know how they knew it. I guess I, you know, had it written all over me. You know, I'm in my very suburban black Honda Accord and I lived in the valley. No shame. I grew up in the, I've lived in the valley almost all my life. Rock in the suburbs for life, baby. Anyway, I should note at this point that, Exene Cervenka of X, once I interviewed her over in, I think it was in Santa Monica, and she said to me, you look like a West Side guy. So take that, L7. Exene thinks I'm from the West Side. Whatever. Any rate, I didn't take the threat too seriously. I didn't think they would actually find out where I lived and blow up my toilet. I was a little bugged about it, but, you know, I thought about it as I was driving home, and then I realized, you know what? I've got my lead. And that was the damn lead of the story, and it was a good one. As far as Courtney goes, she was pregnant at the time, and I couldn't get an in-person, so I settled for a phoner. And, you know, we started, you know, I think we went about 5 minutes or so. And she said, you know, can I call you back? I'm sorry, I got to go do something. And I'm like, oh, great. You know, I think to myself, that's it. I'm not going to get any more quotes. I don't have enough stuff. She's never calling back. But surprise, she actually did call back. She was super cool. I really sort of felt like a connection with her. And she told me, you know, Kurt was at home and he was watching Shakes the Clown and I think she was eating ice cream. And I think that one went well. I can't really remember the particulars, but, you know, I didn't leave with any ill feelings at all. And she didn't threaten to blow up anything. Years later, a friend of a friend, a guy named Ken McCullough, who is a big Prince fan. And by that, don't only mean that he's he likes Prince a lot, but he's also really tall. And he's worked at a few record stores in the Valley through the years. And somehow, maybe on Facebook or something, he told me that he bought this CD, a collection of Courtney Love's Answering Machine rants. And in one of them, she mentioned effing Craig Rosen, although she didn't say effing. You could probably guess what she said. Anyway, Ken actually made me a tape of that. So I heard it, and it was over some Weezer cassette single. And I had it. I probably have it somewhere. I'm not sure where it is, but just kind of funny, you know, strange thing. You know what? Why don't we listen to Doll Parts by Hole? This was after I interviewed her, a few years after, but it's a good song. I like Hole. One of the other pieces I did for a musician was on Lollapalooza, like the early years, and just a little short interview with Perry Farrell. And he was a nice guy. We got along okay. And, you know, it was just a little phoner type deal. But the highlight and the thing that sticks in my mind was the end, the send-off. Perry Farrell said to me before he hung up, "Take care, my Jewish brother." With that, I think we should listen to Bin Cott Stealin'. by Jane's Addiction. You know, as I was saying, I always loved the fact that Perry Farrell, his real last name is Bernstein, said that to me. It's really special. And with that, I will say to you, take care, my rock in the suburbs, brothers and sisters. This has been Craig Rosen in for Jim and Patrick, who are off spring breaking somewhere. You can find me on Twitter at Craig Rosen. Or at Number One Albums. I'm also on Facebook under both entities. And you can reach Jim and Patrick at rock@suburbspod.com or at suburbspod on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. Listen every day, unless your dog has a broken toe. And then binge listen while you clean your mother-in-law's pool. This is Craig Rosen signing off. Take care. Keep rocking. That's the sound of Milo going crazy at the mailman.